If you are not familiar with the Feasts and Festivals, it is an exciting study of what God did to teach the Israelites about the future Messiah. Now, he set these up in different ways and over a course of time, and in doing so, he painted a picture for them that we now, some 2,000 years later, after Christ, have seen how Christ fulfilled these. And so today we're going to start. Now, normally we would start with the Feast of Passover, because it's the first feast. It's the first celebration. It actually is the beginning of the new Jewish year. If you're not familiar with the Passover was this event that occurred when the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt. And right before Moses led them out, God did one last miracle. And what he said was, I'm going to take the life of every firstborn in the country as punishment for your disobedience to the Egyptians. And he said, here's how the Israelites will escape that. They're to take a lamb and to take the blood and put it over the threshold of their home. And if there's a house that has that, then the angel of death will pass over. And so in doing so, then it celebrates this escape from captivity into freedom. But we're going to be celebrating that in a very special way this Friday night as representatives from Jews for Jesus comes, and they'll be able to explain it far more detailed than I probably can in explaining and understanding the cultural references of what it is, all the steps in the Passover. So if you have never experienced seeing Christ in the Passover, let me encourage you to come Friday night and make sure that you bring somebody, because it really is an awesome, awesome, eye-opening experience. So today we're going to actually start this series with the second festival of the year, which is the celebration of the unleavened bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread begins the day after Passover, and traditionally it actually all kind of blends together. Throughout the New Testament, when we read that Jesus has gone to the temple for the festival, this is what they're normally referencing. Because in addition to celebrating it in your home, it was encouraged that you return to Jerusalem to pay homage at the temple. And so if you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, verse 15, we're going to start by looking at the origins. Now, this is an interesting festival because this is one of the two festivals that was actually handed down by God for the Israelite that we can now see was done before. It was actually given to the Israelites before they left Egypt. And this is different because the rest of the festivals and feasts were given as they were in exile, as they were walking around, as God laid out the laws of how that they were going to establish themselves as a kingdom as they wandered the desert. And so this festival, this feast was originated before they left. In Exodus 12:15, they says this, for 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. And on the first day, remove the yeast from your houses. For whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. Now, Israel has a different calendar than we do. For one thing, they had 360 days instead of our 365. And what they did was every so many years, they actually added another month. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of a little strange for us. We have a leap day. We had 1 day. They actually added a whole month. So think about that. That's a whole other month of work. Now, if you had vacation, could you just take that month off? I don't know. But what they had was a system where that their system was that their calendar began in the month of Nisan. Now, it sounds like Nissan, and every time you look at it, I always think of like, you know, like a Datsun. But it's actually their first month, kind of like our January. And on the 14th day of that month, they celebrated Passover. And on the 15th, they began the week of unleavened bread. And some of the laws that came along with this later, God expanded this while they were out in the desert. And God expanded this festival and said, you know, you need to not even, don't let anybody even in your country, in your territory that has leaven. And why was he so against leaven? Because leaven represented sin. They were taking yeast And they were using that as a symbol of sin, and how that if you have ever made homemade bread, now Amy's grandmother, that's her like one recipe that we have kept, is grandma's rolls. And that's what we call them, the grandma's rolls. And they're made by hand. You have to like put the dough and you put all the ingredients and like you don't stir it. You just, with your hands, you just mix it all together. And it's all gooey and messy. And there's something in that, like that extra love, I think, that makes them better. But if you have to do this in order to make the bread rise. But what they were saying was that don't eat that, because right now you're supposed to be cleansing yourself from sin. And they actually have a ceremony. And when they said, when God said here that you should go into your house and remove it from your house, they actually created a ceremony. Now, it kind of looks funny to say, but it's pronounced this, Bedekah Hametz. That's my best Southern Indiana version of Jewish, of Hebrew. But Bedekah Hametz, removing the leaven from the house. It's a ceremony. It's a little activity they do. And they make it actually kind of a game. And so they made it a game with the kids. And what they do is, leading up to Passover, the women in the whole nation would go around and they would eliminate all the yeast. They would take all the bread that had been baked like that and they would take it out and they would burn it. They would get rid of it. But they would keep just a little bit of yeast, a little bit of bread here and there, some crumbs. And they would hide them around the house. And then the night before, on Passover, the men would take the kids and they would go around the house. And they would take a feather and a spoon and a candle. And the candle was to light their way. The feather was to sweep up the breadcrumbs. And the spoon was to carry them. And it was to remind them that God is the light. Just as God had been a pillar of light when he helped them escape from Egypt and showed them the way. God is the light. We talked a few weeks ago on the truth. And we mentioned that God, Jesus, is the light of the path. He says, I am the light and the way. That is a representation of Christ. He is the light. The feather was to represent the fact that they took flight. The reason that they couldn't even wait for the bread to rise is because God said, get ready because you're leaving. And guys, one day there's going to be a time when God says, get ready because we're leaving. Amen? Amen. And we're going to have to be ready. Now, they would take the spoon because the spoon carries it, just as God carried the Israelites to freedom. Now, they would take this yeast and they would take it out and they have this festival. And they'd take it to the thing and they would burn the extra leaven to get rid of it. Because that is what happens with sin. That is the final destination of sin. God tells us that in the end times, that there will be a time when all sin and all that followed sin be cast into a lake of fire that will burn forever. Sin's destiny is to be destroyed. So we need to choose today. Are we getting our house ready? One of the verses that they commonly refer to in Psalm 139 is, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there are any offensive ways in me, and lead me to the way of everlasting. I ask you today, is your house ready? Has sin been removed? Maybe you took the bread and maybe you said, you know what, I've gotten like the big stuff out. Because that's what they would do. They would take the big loaves, like the obvious things, and they would take it out and destroy it a few days ahead of time. But on that night, it was like, we need to make sure everything's cleared out. So in our own hearts, have we taken the light of God and explored our heart? Are we reminded that one day we will be taken away from here and we will be carried away into heaven and we will stand before God? And all things will be revealed. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 8, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. That's kind of scary, isn't it? So that thought that you had about that guy that cut you off in traffic, all the things in our hearts, God knows. So when we take it to him, you know, when I was a kid and I would get in trouble or I knew I had done something bad, I would like purposely not want to be around my mom because I had this feeling like I would confess something or let it slip. I never forget one night I went out with some friends because they had just got their license. I wasn't quite 16, but one of my friends was 16. He just got his license, and my mom said, sure, you can go. We were going to a church thing. Mom, come on. It's a church thing. Nothing can go wrong. Well, needless to say, coming back, you know, in his hot rod Chevette. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's a four-cylinder, I don't know, like 50 horsepower. Don't turn the air conditioner when you're going uphill. You know, kind of one of those cars. But we were 16 and we had wheels. That's all that mattered. And long story short, we ended up in a ditch. I didn't call my parents. Of course, we didn't have cell phones in those days. And one of the other parents came and got us and dropped us off. And I said, you know, just drop me off like a block before my house. They're like, oh, we can go in and tell them, you know, what, you're okay. And I'm like, no, I got it. You know, I'm good. And I was like, and part of what had happened was that when we were in the ditch and I jumped out, I caught my jacket. I caught the pocket on the door handle and it ripped. So, like, obviously something happened. So I was, like, trying to think of something I could explain. I was running away from a bear. I don't know, something that explained why I had this ripped jacket. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to confess this when I go in. And I walk in, and I never forget, my mom was sitting there at the table, and she goes, so, how'd it go tonight? And I'm like, oh, it was great, you know, we praise the Lord, and, you know, all this. And she goes, anything happened? I go, oh, no, nothing special. I kind of like had the pocket just kind of holding it with my hand. And I was like, I'm going to go to my room now, okay. And I turned around and she goes, are you going to tell me about being in a ditch? And I turned around and I was like, well, okay. So I told her what happened. I'm like, how do you know this? And she just used that mom voodoo. She's like, mothers just know. I'm like, dang it. But you know what? She didn't yell. She didn't get mad. Big thing was she didn't say, I told you so, which was what I was really worried about. But after I confessed it, and I was like, whew. And that was off my shoulders, and it was out of my heart. And it was like our relationship was still okay. God's a lot like that. We're so busy coming up with stories and making things up, we're thinking we could hide it from him, and he already knows. He's just waiting for us to come to him and say, I messed up. And he's going to be like, you know what? I know. I still love you. Let's talk. Everything is known. Everything that you think is hidden will be revealed. There's nothing that you can hide from God. So maybe we need to do a little Bindika Hametz in our own hearts and take the light of God and go and search it out and clean up those little messes that are left in the corner. Maybe open that closet we think that we're the only one that's ever looked in. But God knows it. Well, that's the thing. Jesus wants us to not be contaminated. What's the application for us who are Christians? There's a wonderful story. Jesus tells this story in Matthew. In chapter 16, starting with verse 5, Jesus says this. When they were across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Now, this is what I like about the Bible. You know, it reminds us that this is real life. These are real people. You know, they took bread. Why? Because they were hungry. They're people. There's a bunch of guys. You don't get a bunch of guys together and there's no food. He says they forgot to take bread. And Jesus, aware of this discussion, and Jesus said to them, be careful. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, I got a feel for the disciples because Jesus would just say random things, right? Like if you were sitting there going, man, we don't got no bread. Be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees. We're lucky because the disciples are a lot like us. Because then it says, they discussed among themselves and said, is it because we didn't bring any bread? What's he talking about? The yeast of the Pharisees. Like, did you buy that from the Pharisee? Like, where did we get the bread? I don't know. Just bless their hearts. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, ye of little faith, why are you talking amongst yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? And he reminds them, it's not about the bread. What's bread to me? You gave me 2 loaves and I fed 5,000. Another time I fed 4,000. It's not about the bread. Come on. Verse 11. How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread, but be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Verse 12, then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread. Wow. These guys are quick. But against the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I love these guys. They're hopeful for me. If they can get it, I can get it. And I love it because they ask questions. Because Jesus would say things like that. Because whenever we talk about it, we think of them as these saints. And they are. They are saints. So are we. But what they are sinners who are saved because of Jesus Christ. And so are we. That's what it's about. Now, these were guys who were fishermen and tax collectors. One of them was a thief and a robber and end up, turning them in. He was a traitor. This is who Jesus used. And he's telling us, don't worry about the bread. Don't worry about the things of this world. Don't think about the things that are just temporary. But pay attention. In your life, people are going to put things in to you. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians, do you not know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch? You know, when you make bread, I'm amazed. You don't put like a whole bunch. You know, you put a bunch of flour. You put a bunch of other ingredients, but you put like just a little bit of yeast. If not, it blows up. It's not good. Get rid of the old yeast, Paul writes, so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, speaking of the festival of unleavened bread, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In other words, what you have been in the past, you no longer are. Quit being that. Now, if you've ever had like friendship bread, where you take bread and you let it grow for a little bit and then you take a little bit off and here's your friend and then you take that thing and you got to knead it and do all kinds of stuff for like 6 days and I always forget and then I have to throw it away. But for those of you who really actually do it, it's kind of cool because you've taken a little bit off and then you've got a new thing. Got this new loaf of bread that I can have. And here's the problem. Whatever was in the first batch gets passed on. And whatever's in that batch passes on, and that batch passes on. So if you start off with a bad batch, you're going to have bad bread. What Christ is talking about and what Paul is writing about is that for those of us who have given our lives to Christ, that we have accepted his forgiveness, we are no longer part of that old batch. Because if we just keep repeating that, it's contaminated. If you had a bad batch of bread and your life in the past was bad, and you just keep doing the same thing over and over again, don't be shocked when you keep getting bad bread. Paul is telling us, be new. Pass along a new creation. Paul writes that later to the Corinthians and tells them that you are a new creation in Christ. You're not the old. It is done. If you have already done that, if you've had a time where you said to God, I can't do this. I confess that I am a sinner and I believe that you are the one and only way, and you have put your complete trust and faith in Jesus Christ and now serve as a Christian on this planet, awesome. You're not done. You've got to daily take his word, use it as a light, search your heart, find those little pieces and clean them out. For those of you who have never committed to Christ, never made that decision, let me challenge you today. If you keep going the way you're going, there's one place where sin ends up. I don't say that in some hateful way. I say it really fearfully and sadly to tell you, it's not me. God, the creator of the universe, says I cannot have sin in my heaven. In my new plans, my new earth, in the end times, there can be no sin. There's one place sin ends up. Just like those dads and grandpas that take their kids and find sin, they take it out to the fire and they burn it. I don't tell you this to fear, create fear, because here's the awesome news. Jesus Christ is the way out of that. You don't have to go there. You can enjoy the new bread. You can be the new bread. How do I do that? Well, like that Psalms passage, search my heart and show me my sin, God. And then confess to God because he already knows it. Just like my mom, you can try to come up with some story. You can make an excuse, but they already know. God already knows what you've done. And he still loves you. He loved you so much that 2,000 years ago, he sent his son to die in your place so that you don't have to. You're like, it can't be that simple. It is. It is that simple. But it's so much more. It is freedom, and it is hope, and it is joy and love, and it is everything that we need in one act. And that act is this. Romans 10:9 says this, if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, I will be saved. If you have never done that today, let me challenge you to do that. As we close out in prayer, and you've never prayed that prayer, either out loud or in your heart, pray along with me. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that my sin is not hidden from you. I confess it, and I accept your forgiveness. God, I give my life to you from this day forward, and one day wait for you to take me to heaven to be with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we are going to celebrate the breaking of bread. For those of us in the Christian faith, this is called communion. Remembering the Last Supper has many names. Today we're going to do it a little bit different than we normally do it. I know that in the past we do two different versions, but today we are going to celebrate by using unleavened bread. This is Jewish bread that's unleavened. This is representative. If you come Friday night, you'll learn more about it's matzah bread. Matzah bread. You know, it's kind of fun to say. It represents Christ's blood. I mean body. That was broken for us. When you see the matzah bread, you'll find that it's pierced. It's had little tiny holes in it when you pick it up and look at it. His body was pierced for us. Some of the pieces are small, but you may notice that there's some discoloration. If you see the whole piece of bread, you'll notice that there's actually stripes on the bread. Just like Christ had stripes on his back because of us. This is his body that we remember. On the day that he died, he obviously shed his blood. He took this cup and he says, this cup is a cup of new covenant because I'm going to pour out my blood for you. Next week, we're going to find out a little bit more about what the Passover was all about, how that the Lamb's blood washed away our sins. But today, we take the blood in the form of this juice to remember his blood was poured out for us. So just a moment, the ushers are going to direct you to go towards the back and come up the middle. But before we do that, let's pray and thank God for what he has done for us. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for your body that was broken, for your blood that was spilled. And Heavenly Father, as we partake, let us remember your love and your sacrifice. He knew our sins and loved us anyways. And because of that, we celebrate you by remembering in the form of this communion. It's in your name we pray.